word that you've implanted in his heart, Lord God. And Father, for the word to us, Lord God, an encouraging word that you would build us up, encourage us, strengthen us, Lord God. We pray that your blessing would be upon this word and upon our church and upon Pastor Don here as he brings forth the word. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen, Father.
All right, if you remember last week, I used as a scripture in John chapter 11, verse 40, and it's up here on my PowerPoint. And I like that. I can walk around and talk and move and, you know. And I'm walking better, too. Thank you guys for your prayer. If you remember last week, I was hobbling, you know, kind of walking like an old man. But anyways, John chapter 11, verse 40. This was the scripture. And I really believe this is a theme for 2019 here. And this is what it says. Then Jesus said, "Did I not tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God?" Amen. And I got to tell you something. That scripture just burned in my heart because I want to see the glory of God. I want to see God move in every situation. It could just be a restoration of a family. It could be a salvation. It could be somebody getting a job. It could be somebody, who knows what it might be. But if we trust God, if we just say, "God, I believe, I want to see you move in this particular situation," you will see God move if you just believe. And I really believe God's got some great things in store for us this upcoming year, that he wants to impart something to us. Okay, unfortunately, I don't have my little clicker, so I got to look up there and kind of give him a head nod or give him, you know, maybe I'll snap my fingers. That's, you know. Next. Somebody wake Elmo up there. Get it, okay. I got Elmo working it for me. Oh. All right. A couple weeks ago, I was going home, and I listened to 97.1 The Ticket, which is a sports radio station. And the thing that really struck me was these guys were arguing about the quarterback for the Detroit Lions, Matthew Stafford. You can bring Matthew up. Go to the next slide there. And what they were arguing about was he had made a comment to an out-of-town reporter that he had a dream. He had a vision. And that vision was to see, he saw himself driving down Woodward, holding the Vince Lombardi trophy, which is given to the winner of the Super Bowl, and a crowd just applauding them. And these guys were mad because he had never vocalized that anywhere before. And if you'd ever seen any of his interviews after a game, he was very complacent, like, "Well, we're going to have to work harder. We're going to have to, you know, learn to tackle better, and I got to do a better job." But there was no passion in it. And there was no vision that he wanted to. And so these radio hosts were saying, "We just wanted to hear one time. Why did he tell this out-of-town reporter that dream, that vision that he had, and not tell it to his teammates, and not tell it to the city of Detroit so everybody get behind him? This is where we're going. This is where I want to lead you. This is where I want to take you." And how many of you know, and we've talked about this over and over and over again, it is important to have a vision, an idea where you're going to go, where God is going to take you. And so as we start off a new year, we got to ask ourselves, where is it that God is going to take us? Are you happy with just the status quo, where you're at? I don't know about you, all right, but I'm going to be like in the book of Ezekiel. I want to go a little bit deeper in that water. It says Ezekiel was called to the edge of that river, and he stepped out and it came over his ankles. And he was told to go out a little bit further, and it came up to his knees, and went a little bit further, up to his waist. And they said he went out into the middle of that river, and it was a river that nobody could cross. And he was carried downstream by that river. And we have that banner. Many of you can't see it, but up there it says, "The Spirit of God is moving downriver. Wherever the river flows, everything will live." And that's taken from Ezekiel. And what it represents is, see, we can be satisfied standing on the bank, can't we? Or we can step in where it's just that water, the Spirit of God is just moving a little bit in our life. And then we can move out a little bit further and a little bit further. And then we can move out so far that we're not touching ground anymore. We're at the mercy of wherever that river's taking us. And I want to be at the mercy wherever the Spirit of God is taking us. We don't want the status quo. We want every day to be a new day. Amen? A new opportunity. A new vision that's imparted. I challenged the people in my home group. I said, "I want you to get one of those little black day timers, day keepers, whatever those things are, the calendars in the back. And every day, write down what God had done for you that day. Look for it. Look for that opportunity. Was it somebody that maybe you standing in Myers, and all of a sudden you're going to their house praying for them? Or standing down in Moschek's and Diane Rink is down there and we're talking to somebody. Whatever it might be, what is it? And when you begin challenging God, when you begin, "God, here I am, use me, take me a little bit deeper. Watch and see what he will do. Okay, next. And the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain on tables. That is a tablet. So okay, looks like tables to me. That he may run that reads it. All right? So, here in the book of Habakkuk, the prophet was instructed to write down so that people could read it. They could understand it. They could say, this is where we're going. This is what the Lord says. This is the word of God. Okay? And so it's important to write those things down. It's important to write those things down that God has done for us in the past. You know, as we read through the entire Old Testament, we see that there are places that they made these altars. Every time there was a great move of God, they did something. When they crossed the Jordan, they grabbed 12 huge stones and they put them there so that a future generation would say, what are these stones here for? And that's when the Lord took us through the Jordan River, took us into the Promised Land. And then when they defeated a city or whatever, they'd make an altar of some type. And it was always to remind the future generations. And we need to look back sometimes and recognize what God has done, because that'll build our faith. You know, when David was at Ziklag, many of you know the story. We're not going to go back there, but maybe write it in your notes. You can Google it, read it later. David and his crew came back from, they were out raiding. And when they came back to their camp, a foreign enemy had come in and had taken everything, their wives and their children, and all their possessions had moved on. And they sat down and they were weeping. David's mighty men weeping, and David himself, and they were so despondent that they looked at David and they said, we're going to stone you. It's because of you. They passed the buck. Where's Ray Silva at? Ray, they passed the buck. They wanted David's hide, didn't they? We always want to pass that buck. But it says that David strengthened himself in the Lord. And we need to do that. You know how he did it? He said, God, I remember when I was a little boy, taking care of my father's sheep, and the bear came. And you gave me the strength to kill the bear. And then I remember when the lion came, and you gave me strength to kill the lion. And I remember when the wolves came, and you gave me strength to kill the wolves. And I remember when I went out and fought Goliath, and you gave me victory over the giant. He'd begin to build himself up. God, you did this, you did that, you did that. And then it says he called for the priest. He said, bring the ephod. We're going to inquire what God wants to do in this situation. Because we're not going to sit here and mourn. We're either going to go after him. We're going to go and get back what is ours. Amen? Amen. So, 1 Samuel 12:24 says, only fear the Lord and serve him in truth with all your heart. For consider how great things he has done for you. I mean, you know, maybe some of us are in bad health today. Maybe some of us are having financial problems. Some of us have some type of problem. But if you sit back and you look back, God's been good to you. Okay? He hasn't promised you a life, you know, without any problems, has he? He's promised us a life that no matter the circumstance, no matter where we're at, he is there with us. We sing that song, you know, Walk With Me. You know, Jesus, come and walk with me. He's there whether you feel him, whether you see him, whether you think he's there or not. He said, never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you. So at the moment you feel down and the world is falling apart, guess what? He's there. And as we looked at that story of Lazarus, and we're going to get back to that in a minute, all right? Martha and Mary, they thought their world had come to an end. Jesus, we sent a message to you. Where were you? You're only 2 miles away. You could have walked there in 20 minutes, a half an hour. But it's 4 days. What kept you so long? But Jesus had a plan, and he knew what he was doing. Amen? All right, let's go on. Let's look at some of the things just from 2018, both in the physical realm and in the spiritual realm that God is accomplishing. We're just going to go through this list kind of quick. I'd mentioned last week, parking lot. Okay, got it all. Look nice there. Okay, hang on there. Go back to that back picture. There we go. New garbage dumpster. I got to complain to Pastor John, though. I go, you know, okay, that garbage dumpster was always filled, wasn't it? So Pastor John got a new garbage dumpster. I need like a ladder to climb up to get into that thing. Do you ever throw the garbage in there? Thank God they got the sliding door sort. But that thing is high. But guess what? It takes a whole lot more garbage. It'd save us a lot more money, because anytime that garbage thing was overflowing, we had a call. And Debbie, what was the extra call, extra pickup charge? How much? $125. That's right. So if it was extra. So I don't know about you, but I like to use $125 maybe for some of the mission work we do in here. Or maybe that's somebody that has a need in their home. I don't want to give it to the garbage man. All right? The only thing I want to give the garbage man is our garbage, and he's getting paid to take it away. Thank God for the garbage men. You know, I was looking at a picture of L.A., and they got all the homeless there. And the garbage men didn't go and pick anything up, and they showed this one alley. Pull it up, Google it later, and see what that alley looked like. And you'll be dropping to your knees and thanking God for the garbage man. Because it was a garbage dump. And I'm thinking the rats and the disease and everything else is running in there. So we all, that like the body, we all have something to do. All right, go on. Fellowship Hall was redone. These are some pictures here when it was in mid-part there. We had a bunch of people come in. There you go. You see they were kind of moving everything around. We still got some work. We're going to redo the floor in there. We've got some other things going on. The cement outside, we had to replace that whole front stairway. We had the handicap ramp. A lot of people were coming in, and they just couldn't make it up. We didn't have a rail. You know, some people came up, and when it got icy or was wet, that thing was slick. Thank God nobody ever fell down and got serious hurt. Now we got a rail out there. We got the ramp. All right, go ahead. Okay, the bathrooms downstairs, were both of those were redone. Men's bathroom, a couple pictures there. Oh, there we go. Elma's favorite, the lights. She goes, Pastor, what's that a picture? I go, lights. She goes, well, why aren't they on? I says, because you can take a picture if they were on. I got to turn them off. Pastor John, we replaced all these lights. Some of you noticed that they were kind of bright, you know? And you thought, and I just told everybody, well, that's the glory of God, you know, falling in. You know, they, Pastor John got those, you know, like 1,000 volt lights, you know, look like Frankenstein. Actually, they're a little high, but he's lowered them down because there are people that had some issues seeing spots and things like that. So, you know, hey, if there's a problem with something, we'll try to fix it. But these lights, they're lighting up the place, and we thank God for that. All right, go ahead. The roof, amen. This is all last year. And so you see the sign out there, we're moving up. That red line is moving up. It's like my wife's blood pressure when I come home. It starts going up and up and up. All right? But that roof was very expensive. We had to get it repaired. If you sat in this section here, or if you sat, oh, poor Roger, and I said this before, Roger's sitting there all of a sudden, boop, boop, you know, on that bald head of his, you know? And he's looking around like, what the heck is going on? So every time it rained, and he sat, and I go, Roger, I got a remedy for you. He said, what's that? I go, move. Okay? Don't stand there. But there were leaks all over the place, and we still got a few things, but thank God that we have had no rain come into the sanctuary here. We had water coming up on the equipment up there. We had to cover it with a tarp. I mean, it's an old building. So, you know, it's just, we got a new freezer for the kitchen. Esther would tell you when she was in there, that freezer drove us nuts. Okay, it was always breaking down. We'd go in there and there'd be a puddle of water, stupid freezer, not working again. And so finally we said, one more time, we're going to try it. We tried it, and it worked for about 2 months. And finally we said, we got to get a new freezer. Pastor John worked his Jedi mind trick on the salesperson. In case you guys never had that happen, like, so if Pastor John wants you to get something, he said, you will give us that freezer for. And the guy was like, I will give you the freezer for. So I got a great deal for us. And those are simple things that we need, but they're expensive, you know. Coat rack area, you'll notice those coat rack things are gone. We still got some repairs. We're going to be drywalling in there and what have you. You know, I always had a nightmare with that, those racks. There was an old movie called The Midnight Express. Anybody remember that? It was a true story. A guy goes to Turkey and he gets busted for smuggling hashish, and then he's in a Turkish prison, and it was a hellhole. And the way he escaped is the sergeant came in, and they were like in a room like that, and they had these hooks on the wall where you hung your jacket or your hat, and he pushed the guy, and he went back, and it caught the back of his head and killed him. And so I'd go down there, and I know none of you ever heard me raise my voice at kids in here before, but the kids are like doing chin-ups, you know. It was like Jack LaLanne recreation hour in there, you know. And they're doing pull-ups. I go, kids, get off that, you know. And I always had the vision of one of those kids falling backwards and that happening too, you know. And it's always like we're looking for safety issues. And so I said, I got to get those things out of. We'll use them. But we are going to be redoing that. There's the hallway downstairs, same thing. That's going to be repainted and what have you. That is the back class. That's the primary classroom. It's hard to see there, but the white, the creamy area is actually cement. We had to bring it up. We had a big leak in there from the rain. Water was coming in the back. It was all in level. We had to tear everything up and go to the next one. And now we have a floor in there. It's a vinyl floor. It looks really nice. Going to have the rooms painted and up done. Go ahead. So if you want, go down there. There in the back, you have heard us talk about the animals that got in here, the squirrels, the raccoon, whatever else. They had a bats flying around in here. Who knows what else got in here. But they come in through some of these broken windows. So we replaced them with these glass block windows this year. There and then the one that was over the kitchen area, up in the storage area, because that is where a lot of these critters were coming in. There we bought some new equipment for the sound team up there, new screen for the computer and some other stuff. Okay, go ahead. Gutters, we had these back gutters. Some of the water was coming in the office. Years ago, these guys came in, they did some work up there, and then they never replaced the gutters, and it wasn't easy getting up there. It's pretty high. Once again, you see up there above the kitchen area, the glass block windows. We had to fix the facet that was by the gutters, too. One day I was looking out the window, and there was a squirrel laying on its back in the gutter. And he lifted up the shingle, and he crawled in backwards underneath the roof, right in that corner there. And next thing I know, a day later, I came in, and he's on the rail out here in the foyer just looking at me. And I go, I'm going to get him, man. The squirrel's going to be dead. All right, so they find a way to get in. Them animals are smart, you know. All right, the landscaping, the air conditioning, we're constantly, the heating, the air conditioning, Pastor John, I let him deal with that because it drives me crazy. But the guy comes in, how many times has the guy from the heating cooler probably been in that last year? I mean, if he's not in once or twice a month, he's not in at all, but he's always here. Okay, always fixing it. So we, you know, make sure that we got heat. You know, once again, the landscaping was done. Go ahead. In all the classrooms, one of our security concerns was somebody getting a hold of our ushers, the head of our ushers, or something going on. And so we got these little walkie-talkies in there, and we have the video cameras. I had mentioned last week, I think I did, when I went down to Texas, I was down there and I went to this big mega church, and we were just walking through, and they had this big playscape, and they had all these kids, and they allow people from off the street to go in there and go in there. And I asked the lady, I said, do you ever check who these people are? She says, well, we have a couple of people that we do background checks, but all the people from the street just come in. And I'm going, oh gosh, that's a disaster waiting to happen. I said, so you don't know that guy there or that lady over there or that guy or what have you. I said, it's good you got those people in there. But to allow them in there around other people's kids? Ugh. So this up in the crying room, we have a device for those that, a lot of Spanish-speaking people coming out. And so if they need interpreter, what have you, we have that set up and ready to go. Go ahead. All right, just quickly, spiritual breakthroughs. Those were physical things. That's quite a bit of stuff, wasn't it? You know, you don't realize it till you begin seeing it, till you begin putting it all together. And go, wow, there was a lot of things. And once again, it wasn't cheap. But thank God that Pastor John, over the years, has overseen the finances and the building repair and all that. And we had money that we were able to go with and get a lot of these things. You know, now we have the roof that I'm sure we're going to pay off. And that's one of our goals, to pay it off this year. All right, go ahead. Last year, we had new members and believers. Babies born in the church. Thank God. I don't know. There are babies running all over this place. Right, Levi? All right. Membership class, home groups, morning Bible teachings, breakfast, women's. I'm just showing these things up there so you can understand all the things that are going on during the course of the year. Community outreach we had, the ornament exchange. Stop right there for a minute. Okay? I mean, you look at some of the pictures. We always have little videos. How many people are invited from there? That's a great time of evangelism. That's a great time to get people out. Vacation Bible School. Brian, Chrissy, all the people that helped out, we had great success there. You know, these are community outreaches. Invite a Friend Sunday, the Bible release class. Pastor John mentioned we got Austin. Austin, raise your hand there so everybody knows Austin. Amen. I actually use Austin in the class all the time. I've got a little slide, and he's got to read our main scripture for the day. And I call it Austin's Power Verse. Get it? Austin Power? You guys are slow today. You guys ate too much food up there. All right? The Memorial Day ceremonies, Pastor John, the city council, John Clinton. I mean, others have gone over and done prayer. Meals on Wheels, guitar class, sewing class. Elma goes, we don't have sewing classes. How many of you know we have sewing class? Okay, a couple of you. It's not here, but Cheryl Brooks, a couple of years ago, we got a call, and in Dearborn, they were looking for someone that could teach sewing because they had a lot of immigrants, a lot of women that came in from the Middle East. And the lady that was running, she ministered here before, Cynthia Khan, who was Pakistani, converted to Christianity, shared her testimony. And she says, one of the ways we're trying to reach out to these women that are coming in is through teaching them how to sew. Do you have anybody? I go, do I have anybody? Yeah, I got somebody. So I threw Cheryl into the fire, and Cheryl ran that program, set it all up, and these women came in, and Cheryl could show you pictures of stuff that they made, and people that she got to pray for, and it was an outreach, just throwing that seed out there. And it wasn't here, though we want to start something here. She just contacted me before Christmas, by the way, and we want to do that. We're also looking at English as a second language. I've talked to a couple of people. Cynthia Khan has all sorts of information. So these are ways that we are looking, maybe Hispanic people, maybe people from the Middle East. This is great opportunity for the church. Great opportunity, amen? These people are coming. They don't know people. What better opportunity than somebody says, hey, come on, there's a class. Let me take you over. They're going to have coffee, donuts, cookies, whatever it is. Sit down. You're going to learn something, and you're going to make friends, and you're going to meet people. And the women, they love Cheryl. You know, Cheryl was over there, and these women, I was over there on a couple of occasions and just kind of sitting and observing and watching these Muslim women coming in and greeting her. How many times they bring you in goodies? Quite a bit. Why would they do it? And, you know, in that culture, that was a sign of approval. That they loved you. They're not bringing you in, you know, baklava, whatever the heck they brought you in, because they're bringing it in because they respect what you're doing. And they don't realize what you're really doing is kingdom work. Amen? All right, go on. So for 2019 goals, and I'm going to just run through these, and I'm going to get into the message. Just real quick, unless the Lord builds the house, the builders labor. See, we could do all that stuff, but if God's not in it, what good is it? You know, we don't want to be off doing something on our own. And there's a lot of people today that think that God has sent them somewhere and he hasn't. Okay? We want to make sure that, hey, God, if we get involved, we're going to be committed. We're not going to do this, you know, half energy. We're not going to do that. If we feel this is God, we're going to get involved in. All right, some of the things we want to do, improve visitor follow-up. We're going to put together a team. A lot of times visitors come in, we want to make sure that they're not overlooked, all right? Improve missing members, same thing. Maybe somebody hasn't been around for a few weeks. We'll get a team, call them up. When pastors know, you know, I always try to make a mental note if I haven't seen someone, you know, who can I call? Pastor John, I know, does the same thing. Who can I go maybe have lunch with? Develop a hospital visitation team. You've heard Bob tell stories, Pastor John, myself, others, that when you go into the hospital and the doors that get opened up, it's incredible. Okay? Increase Sunday morning prayer attendance, average 20 or more people. That's one of my personal goals. When we meet upstairs, we want to see 20 or more people. Today, I think we had 9 people up there. And I walked in there, and there was just, you could sense the presence of God in a greater way. The more people come together to pray, that synergy, that's exactly right. It's important that the body comes together and pray. It's only 25 minutes, and we go downstairs. But it's a good opportunity to get the right focus and say, we're going to lift up the services, we're going to lift up the teachers, we're going to lift up everything that's going on today, and praying for those that might be guests. Increase Sunday morning breakfast and Bible study attendance to average 50 or more. We average probably about 35. We're right in that range. I'd like to see it go up another 15 or so. So if you haven't ever come out, maybe this year, that's you say, you know what, I'm going to start making a new commitment. I'm going to get out. Because you can be a blessing to that class. It's an open forum. People have insight. They share stories. And it's a blessing to everyone. So that's what I'm praying for. Go on. Increase home group participation by 20%. That's not a whole lot, believe it or not. So, you know, if you had 10 people in your home group, that'd be 2 people coming this year. If you got 20 people, that'd be 4. So that's not a hard goal to reach. We want to reach out. That home group's a great opportunity to bring people into the church and into a relationship with Christ. Okay, continue to develop community evangelism. We've got some ideas on the board. Okay, go ahead, buy release class, trunk or treat. We've got English second language, men and women's breakfast, men and women's meetings, ornaments. These are just some of the things you're pretty familiar with, but things that we are looking to always improve. Okay, go on. Continue to develop community evangelism, Southwest Detroit, Clark Park, the VBS, finished remodeling preschool primary class, finished remodeling Fellowship Hall, coat rack area, downstairs, new home meeting. That's, okay, go on. And I know I'm going through this quickly. Roof paid off, developed a senior youth group, continued to develop young women's group, develop young adults group participation, mission outreaches and new leaders. Community work outreach is something we used to do. We may be developing a team that go into some people's homes that need help and you know, maybe do repair work, maybe they got leaks, whatever it might be. Raise churchly weekly attendance average to 150, and that's not much. We average about 115, 120, so that's 30 people. That's not a whole lot. So that's going to be incumbent on you guys, evangelists, inviting people out and sharing with them what God is doing. If you believe, it says in John 11, verse 40, you will see the glory of God. And to get lights fixed in the parking lot, heater in the women's bathroom, can I get amen with that? Okay. You know, increase our church financial support for missionary. We have committed to local and foreign. We got all sorts of mission programs. You know, I'd like to see increase for Darren and his wife on their campus outreach. They're local, and we're going to do that. We're going to help them even more. You know, sometimes they get more support. Sometimes people pull support away. I believe God's saying, step out in faith, throw a little bit more bread out on the water. Amen? Amen. Et cetera. All right, let's get to the story. I said all that. I was almost like Puerto Rican there. I got through it quick, didn't I, Carmen? Okay. And Elma, when she was going through the notes, she goes, why do you have mummy on there? I go, oh, Elma, were you listening last week, Elma? Okay. Said, it's Lazarus wrapped in the grave clothes, being called out of the grave. All right, go ahead. Turn over to John chapter 11, and I've got just a few points. I'm going to take about 10 more minutes, and then I'll wrap this up. Talked about Lazarus last week, that he was sick. And we noticed that Jesus was sent for. And where he was at was only 2 miles away, so it was a short walk. You know, it'd be like walking from here down maybe to Schaefer. It's not that far a walk. Most of us probably could do it, like I said, in a half hour, 40 minutes at the most. Or if you were like me last week, about 3 hours, I'd be like, oh man, foot hurts. But he doesn't respond immediately. And we say, you know, how many times we've been crying out to God to intervene in a situation, but we don't get that immediate response. Amen? And I was just thinking, years ago when I was in the police department, and I've told this story before, some of you knew, haven't heard. At midnight, there was a young girl. She was one of these gothic girls. And she would sit on the corner over here at Oakwood and Prospect. And so I'd pull up 2 or 3 in the morning. She's just sitting out there. She's got the whole black thing, look like Morticia Adams, you know, from the Adams family. Black fingernail polish, everything black or like just this white. And I would talk to her and invite her out to church. And I would just stop there. I'm, you know, make sure she was okay too, and nobody harassing her. And she lived down here on the corner. They tore the buildings down. She was in an apartment there. So I don't see her. I don't know what happened to her. Years later, I'm doing a DARE graduation over at the old St. Mary Magdalene School here in Melvindale, which is now the Melvindale Agriculture or, ABT, whatever it's called. And so I'm sitting in there, and the room was divided in two. There was a middle aisleway, and I was sitting on the side, and I noticed this young girl kept looking at me. I'm like, God, do I know her from anywhere? And she kept looking and looking, and I'm like, I don't know who she is. Didn't recognize her. So after the DARE graduation, she came over and she goes, you probably don't remember me. She introduced, she said, I was the girl that used to sit out on the corner in the gothic stuff. And she said, I just want to tell you, I could never get your words out of my mind about following Christ and about going to church. And she says, I've been praying that I would one day run into you. And she says, I became a Christian. I have a family. I'm moving down to Florida. I'm going to become an EMT. My life is gone, and I just want to thank you. And she says, keep doing what you're doing. And I was like, you know, and that was something, you know, that you never, you want the immediate results. You know, and I was feeling pretty good. I was like, you know, oh, man, God, that was great. You know, I got to remember that story. So I walked out to school, and I'm walking down the street, and I saw another lady coming towards me, and she had like 2 kids in each hand just dragging them, you know. And she walked by me, and all of a sudden she turned around. She goes, excuse me, are you Mr. Woolen? I says, yeah. And I'm thinking, okay, what did I do now, you know? She said, I used to have you as a teacher, and I hated you. You know, you go from here to here real quick, you know? She says, all you ever did was want to talk about the Bible. And she says, if I had you as a sub, I would skip class. I didn't want to be in there. She says, but I couldn't get your words out of my head. And she says, I'm now a Christian. I attend Gilead Baptist over in Taylor. My husband's a deacon. I've got beautiful kids. And I want to thank you and keep doing what you're doing. And I'm like, oh, okay. You know, two blessings. But, you know, I didn't know her. I couldn't remember her. She was just like some kid in class. She was just some lady standing out in the corner. You just never know how that word, that seed is going to grow. Amen? All right, so he waits. Lazarus is dead 4 days. We talked about that in our class that, you know, the Jews had a belief that if you were dead for 3 days, there was a possibility that you could be resurrected. But if you were dead 4 days, that wasn't going to happen. All right? It was a short journey, 2 miles. Martha, Mary, and Lazarus, they were close friends of Jesus. So you think if he would hurry to get over there, they had special privilege. They had religious privilege. You know, they had access right to the king himself. But he doesn't go immediately because he knew what he was going to do. He's going to let the whole situation play out. All right? Go ahead. And when he arrives, Lazarus is already buried. He's in the tomb, and he's been there for 4 days. All right? And he sees the sisters and crowd crying. And we left off last week. He weeps. And there's a lot of reasons. You know, we think that he was overcome maybe by the outpouring of love for Martha and Mary. And all these different factors could have played a big role in why he wept. I heard some people say, well, he was weeping because they didn't have faith. And I don't buy that. I just think he got caught up in the moment. I've done funerals of people I don't even know. And I hit a certain pattern. All of a sudden, I begin to, you know, I got the Pastor John anointing come upon me. You know, I'm like, it's hard to get through it. He knew these guys, and he saw the love, even though he knew what he was going to do. All right, give you a couple points. Let's go on with the story. If you believe, you will see the glory of God. Number one, Jesus is concerned about your condition. As you read that story, you might not think he was. Poor Martha and Mary, where's Jesus? We just sent, you know, he should be here. It was an hour ago. We sent messengers. How long does it take him to walk over here? A couple hours later, where's he at? Lazarus is getting worse and worse. In fact, the Greek word actually means he was in a state of dying. Okay, when we read it, it just says he was sick. But the Greek word actually means that he was deteriorating and deteriorating quickly, that he was dying. He's taking his good old time. All right? And so I want you to know, Jesus once more deeply moved, came to the tomb. And I like what it says there. He was what? Deeply moved. He knew what was going on, but he was still concerned about the situation. Whatever situation you find yourself in, he's concerned. He's moved about it. He may not arrive there when you think he should be there, but he is there. And in the steps and in the situation, the circumstances that he takes you through, you may not understand it, but there's a reason he's taking you through each step. And it can be a very difficult thing. But he's there. He's concerned about your situation. Maybe you're here today and you don't know the Lord. He's concerned about your situation. He's been drawing your heart. Maybe everybody you run into, you ever have this thing, you know, everybody you run into, you find out it's a Christian. It's like, why am I running into all these Christians? Because God's concerned about it. He's wanting to draw you into the family. All right? But he's concerned. He was concerned about Lazarus, even though he remained there for a few more days. So, we need to identify the insurmountable barrier between life and death. And I like this. He told them what? Take away the stone. You see, there's always a barrier, isn't it? From what God wants to take us from and to. There's that barrier, death on one side. And I'm not just talking physical death, but I'm talking death, maybe our relationship with God, death, relationship with other people, death and the way we are approaching God or our study. There's just a dying. There's a stinking that's going on. And there's an insurmountable barrier between us. That's why I like that, you know, the old Ten Commandments movie. You know, the Hebrews, they came to the Red Sea and there was an insurmountable barrier, wasn't there? That sea. But God began to move and they got the Egyptian army at the other side pursuing them. And to them, they threw their hands up and they were like, we're dead. Where can we go? We can't retreat. But God opened a way where there was no way. And God will open a way here. And I like this. I want to read something. You know, how many of you know who Lauren Daigle is? Christian? I want to read a lyric from her song. And it's called Still Moving Stones. If you get the opportunity to listen to it later, I want to just read. And this pertains to your situation. Out of the shadows and bound for the gallows. A dead man walking till love came calling. Rise up, rise up. 6 feet under, I thought it was over. An answer to prayer, the voice of a Savior. Rise up, rise up. All at once I came alive, this beating heart, these open eyes. The grave let go, the darkness should have known. You're still rolling stones. Amen. You know, and we look at, I heard that song, I said, how appropriate it is that he's still rolling stones. He's still saying, remove the stone. Take away the stone. And you know, the grave couldn't hold him. Well, we read that stone was moved away. Amen. You know, everywhere that Jesus comes, he gets closer to us. There's more life. There's more life. There's more life. And that's exactly what he said. Don't allow yourself to limit God by your impossible situation. You might look at it and go, God, I just don't see no way out. Good. That's good. Because if you could see your way out, you're going to rely upon the arm of the flesh. I think Ray had in his teaching today from Proverbs, do not lean on your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge the Lord. He will direct your paths. And there's times we just got, God, I have no idea where I'm going. I've got to rely upon you. Okay? This whole thing, it's impossible to me. I don't know how you're going to get me out of it. And that's why I love hearing testimonies, because somebody will say, you know, I was sick and I just didn't have the ability to get out of this, or I was in a financial mess and God got me out. When that impossible time, it's possible with God. There's nothing impossible with God. Amen? But they were told him he's been dead for 4 days. See, that violated everything. 3 days, okay, we got a chance. 2 days, we got a chance. 1 day, we got a chance. But 4 days, game's over. Go home. All right, next. Have faith. God will be glorified in some manner. And that's the theme that I want to use, and we're going to harp on all year. If you believe, you will see the glory of God. And what is it that you're believing for? Someone to be saved? I brought Brian in today, and he told this story a few weeks ago about a guy who's related to him, and this guy was just a mean old cuss, and you know, blah, blah, blah. And then he found out he was dying. And he goes, he didn't even want to go to the hospital and pray for the guy because he just thought he'd get cussed out and it wouldn't come to anything. So he goes, all right, God, I'll go. He goes and he leads the guy to the Lord on his deathbed. His own children didn't even want to come to the funeral because they couldn't stand him. All the relationship was broke. And Brian spoke at the funeral and told this story. And afterwards, the kids came up and they said, did he really repent? And Brian told them the story. And they were just shocked. And they were like, oh my God. But it shows you God's grace and mercy. And even when they thought it was an impossible situation, God, you know, have faith. And that's why we keep praying. We keep praying. We may not see the results. You may never see the results. Okay? But have faith. God will be glorified in some manner, and if you believe, you will see the glory of God. And we need to look every day, and that's why I tell you, write it down. Look and say, God, what are you doing today? You know, who are you going to lead across my path? What circumstance, what situation? And it may not be the parting of the Red Sea. It just might be meeting somebody and praying with somebody. When we went on vacation together, I know Esther was down at the beach, and she met a young lady down there. What a coincidence, right? And what did Esther do? The whole time there, she's ministering to her, telling her to get back into church, and they developed a friendship, and then the day that we left, they were there, and she came over, and we talked a little bit. Where was she from? Brooklyn? New York? Boston? Boston, okay. Met her husband, and we have no idea what will happen, but she's never going to forget meeting him on the beach and remembering. I sat there and talked to this lady and her husband, and our kids played together. and you just never know. All right? And can we allow Jesus to speak to the dead thing? You know, when he speaks, things happen. You know the old E.F. Hutton? When E.F. Hutton speaks, everybody listens. Well, when Jesus speaks, even the dead listen. Amen? And so that situation, that relationship, whatever it might be that you think is dead, it's been buried, it's no longer, God can't do anything there. Watch out. Watch out. Because even Martha and Mary, they kind of had that religious view. Well, you know, he'll rise again on the last day, but Jesus tried to get them to understand he's going to rise today. Because wherever I go, I am the resurrection. I am the life. Whoever believes in me, and he goes on and he's trying to tell them. And that's why I think everywhere, Bob said this the other day, and I never thought about it till he said it, but it was true. Wherever he went, nobody died. Yeah, the only ones I could think of that died in his presence were the guys on the cross with him, but it was after he himself. He died first, okay, once he gave up the ghost. But he'd come into a situation, that's what he said, wherever Christ go, life, light gets ministered. And that's why you have powerful giftings to impact a world that needs that. Allow your brothers and sisters to remove the grave clothes from you. Here he calls out, Lazarus come out. Lazarus comes out of the tomb. And he's covered in these grave clothes. And we have a job to do, don't we? And that's to disciple people. That's to assist people. That's to fellowship with people. That's to encourage people. It's actually to rebuke people too if they're wandering into sin. All these things, and we take those grave clothes off one by one. We unbind them. Why? So the end result, so that you can walk in newness of life. That you can walk in joy, freedom, victory, deliverance, and power. When Lazarus came out of that tomb, and they unbound him. How many of you know that was a whole new life that was opened up to him? That was a life that he never experienced before. He experienced this death. He experienced laying in that tomb. And who knows what was going through his mind when he was there. This is it. And all of a sudden he gets called forth. And as they take that off, my God, I've been restored. I've been given new life. I could imagine the joy. Probably like, hurry up, get these things off me. Okay? Get them off me. Get them off me. I don't want to be in that tomb no more. I want to walk about in freedom. I want to be joined back to my sisters. Amen? The joy, the freedom. Hey, every time they took a strip off, there was more freedom. Maybe one arm got free than the other arm, and I could imagine him helping, you know, pulling those things off. There was victory. Victory over the grave. Jesus demonstrated his power in an impossible situation. There was deliverance from the dead. And there was power that was put in that situation. And finally, it's not in chapter 11. You can read it for yourself another chapter later. Lazarus is restored back to life. And what does he do? He has a banquet to honor Jesus. You see, when you come back to life, when Christ moves in that situation, you can't help but celebrate. And I like what it says. It says, Lazarus reclined at table with Jesus. And I could imagine them sitting there together, eating bread together. And Lazarus and all these people had come from far and wide to see Jesus, but also to see Lazarus because of the testimony that he had. As we go into 2019, okay, that 2018 is buried. It's dead. It's wrapped in the old clothes. But yet God is speaking to this body and speaking to his body throughout the world to come out. Get out of the tomb. Get out of the place that you have been laying, that you are of no use, that you're stinking and that you're rotting, and come out and be unbound so that 2019 can be that life of freedom, of new life, of liberty, of joy, of walking in newness, walking and walking and see the glory of God in every area, every day of your life and everything that you look at. Because if you believe, you will see the glory of God. Amen? If I could have the prayer team come on up. Amen. We're going to close here in prayer. And if you're new here today, and you don't know Jesus Christ, you never surrender your life to Jesus Christ, we're going to invite you to come up. We're not going to embarrass you. Okay, raise your hand, play the music, blah, 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 blah. We want you to come out and talk with them. They will take time to sit down and begin to explain to you what this new life is. Maybe today you were saying, I felt like Lazarus. I was in the tomb, but I heard a voice tell me to come out. They're up here. Maybe you're here and you're going through a situation. You need prayer. They're up here. They're going to pray. You know, sometimes you can reveal to, maybe you're too embarrassed, like I'm going through just bad. You don't have to tell them all the details. You just come up. Let God be God. Let Him move. Just like those situations I was talking about, those young girls or Brian or whatever. God knows the situation. But they're here. And maybe you just need an encouraging word, need a prophetic word. Let them lay hands on you. Let them prophesy over you. Let God bless you. And I challenge you, look for the glory of God, because I'm going to call on some of you guys the upcoming year. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the example of Lazarus. And Lord, just the lessons that we learned here today. Lord, may we see that when you show up, things begin to happen. When you show up, life is imparted. When you show up, the dead rise from the tomb. And Lord, I pray that you'd increase our faith this year. I pray that we would look with expectant hearts for the hand of God to be extended on our behalf and the behalf of those that we're praying for. I thank you for everyone who's taken their time to be here today. Lord, that you would touch them, that you would bless them, that you would reveal yourself to them in just a more incredible way. Lord, we want to go out into the middle of that river and be swept away. We want to see your glory fall. We want to see your glory fall. We want to see your glory fall so that you would be glorified in all things that we do and say. Father, we thank you. Let your blessing be upon your people. And as we gather, keep your people safe. Keep them healthy. Bless them and prosper them, I ask. In Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. We have coffee, donuts, bagels upstairs. Please stop up there. Help yourself. I'll be up there, grab a coffee pretty soon. God bless you. Yeah.